Amen. Go ahead and be seated just for a second. I'll just rattle off a couple quick announcements or different prayer requests and things, and then we'll get into the Word of God. Don't forget, I've already sent the Cherry Grove men's sign-up sheet, but they always have pay at the door. So if you didn't get your name in here because you were not here and you'd like to go to the Cherry Grove men's conference coming up the 23rd of this month, I could read the names off, but you pretty much know if your name's on here or not. So if you would like to go, you can still go. I've sent that list that we've got here over to Cherry Grove already so they could kind of know how many to prepare for. But if you still didn't get your name and would like to have your name on there, by all means, let's get you signed up and get you over there. They'll still have the pay at the door, and I'll get Brother Keith or Brother Danny want to get a check on that. But anyway, Danny's sick. Is he? Pray for Brother Danny. I missed him in the prayer room tonight, and I see Miss Wanda's up here without Danny. Danny told the church last night at the Joy Senior Meal that his mother has lung cancer. So let's pray for Brother Danny's mother. She's about 85 years old, and she just needs a touch from the Lord. She's going to be going under some radiation. So let's remember Danny's mama. And also, don't forget, we've still got two. That's little Austin Sievert in Brenner's, and we've got Barbara Johnson down here. Barbara's going to be released tomorrow following a knee replacement surgery. There's a whole lot of that going around, ain't there, Brother Teddy? Y'all pray for Brother Teddy. He's pushing on through his. But anyway, if you've got a copy of the Word of God, turn with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter number 5. Chapter 2 Kings chapter number 6. Tonight, while you find your places, Brother Troy's preaching tonight up at Harmony, and Brother Chris is preaching at Countryside down in Statesville tonight. So you pray for these two men of God as they stand tonight, and then everywhere that men are standing. If you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I pray that you'll see Christ in me, that you'll see Christ in your neighbor. You'll see Christ across the pew from you, because every one of us are a testimony of God's goodness and His grace. We all deserved hell, but you look around you, man, there's people that in here that God has just blessed. You'll find people in here that's been delivered from all kinds of different sicknesses. You'll find people in here been delivered from different addictions and all the things that life throws at us. And there's no secret. Some of them had alcohol problems. Some of them had different, all kinds of different problems. But God is a great big God. He'll deliver you from whatever it is that's got you held down, because He come to set at liberty those that were bound. So He'll set you free. And if the Son of Man sets you free, you're free indeed. I'll go ahead and announce that this coming Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we'll be having the deacon ordination. We'll be ordaining. Where'd Brother Kippy go? Brother Kippy, well, he was here. He must have I had to step out, but Brother Kippy and Brother Robbie will be ordained here Sunday night. Brother Cheryl Welburn will be preaching an ordination charge to the candidates, and then I'll be preaching an ordination charge to the church. So you come be a part of that this coming Sunday night. You say, why are you doing it so quick? Well, I wanted to do it in case they call me and tell me to come down and have surgery, because I may be going, I don't know when I'm going to have it. And let me clear this up. I don't have a bad foot. I'm not having a knee replacement. I've had everything replaced from you guys. I don't know how it all gets turned. If you see me limping, it's because I have an inguinal hernia. An inguinal hernia means it's right here. And if you see me holding myself going around, it's because I'm trying to keep that thing from bulging out while I'm preaching, because it's quite painful when it pops out. But anyway, I'm not having my knee replaced. There's nothing wrong with my foot. I've had everything from, I'm going to have a hip replacement, knee replacement, a foot replacement, everything. But anyway, I'm okay, really. It's going to be outpatient. There's no need for some big alarm. No need. It should be in and out. I'm hoping. I missed a call today. They were going to call me today and tell me when to come and do it. They called me, and I didn't get the phone time. And next thing I know, I called them back, and I got their answer machine. So they got my voicemail. I got theirs. We'll catch up here one of these days and get that thing fixed. But anyway, everybody good? Y'all good? Thank Brother John for opening the prayer room tonight, and thank you each and every one for stepping up. Let's go ahead and stand and read reverence the reading of God's Word. Let me say, I've preached this message probably half a dozen times over the last 16, 18 years, whatever it is that I've been trying to preach and pastor, but I don't think I've ever preached it exactly the way that God gave it to me this time. And you take that up with God. I don't worry about it anymore. I quit worrying about that stuff a long time ago. Hey, it preaches different every time, but there's a passage of Scripture here where Elisha's got the sons of the prophet, and he's trying to do a little educating. He's trying to teach them. And the place has become restrictive to them. It's too small for them. It's tight for them. It's confining to them. And they just don't like being in that close of company with one another. And they want to go and have something a little bit bigger, some other place where they can, I guess, grow and prosper or whatever. But and that's the way we'll preach it, just like it says. They're going to move from one place to another. But I want you to remember that while while you're in the straight place, keep the straight place straight. You say, what's that mean? Well, you might have seen me grab my phone if you were sitting adjacent to me. When I say keep the straight place straight, you could also break that down, Brother Steve, and say that this is why church hoppers hop. And Steve, so I'm not a church hopper. I've been here since 98. Praise the Lord. You've been here almost 21 years and you're not hopped yet. I hope you'll just dig your roots in and bloom where you planted. That'd be the best thing. But if we're going to keep the straight place straight, the first word that's mentioned in this, in that latter part of the first verse is straight, spelled S-T-R-A-I-T, straight. And that straight place means narrow, small, confining, tight, constricted, or it could mean difficult. And whenever I say that keep the straight place, that being S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, that means exhibiting honesty, being fair in dealings, properly arranged, as in a straight line, or to be correct, like get your facts straight. So let's keep the straight place straight. Does that make sense to you? We haven't moved. We're still here. It may be confining. It may be challenging at times. It may be difficult at times. All the words that we just used there throughout the Noah Webster Dictionary, we may experience that at times. And there will be, even in a church this side, there will be growing pains. And I'm not talking about somebody elbowing you while you're sitting there. I'm talking about maybe that you didn't get the position that you hoped to whenever the nominating committee met last year. I was wanting to be the this, and I didn't get to be that. Don't get miffed and don't be upset because you didn't get some particular position. Or I'm telling you what, different things happen throughout the course of our lives that, Brother Tam, they just don't bear any. I mean, don't even raise your eyebrow at that. There's other places to serve. And just because you don't have the title or don't have the position, that does not mean that you're done. Throw in the towel and quit. It doesn't mean sit back until the next nominating committee rolls around. No, just keep doing, occupy, do the works of the Lord until He comes to get us. So as we will read this tonight, hey, Brother Troy, coming on in. Appreciate you coming on in here. And thank the Lord for you. I guess you've already preached up there and got down here. So let's just read our scripture. We're in 2 Kings, Brother Troy, chapter number 6. 2 Kings, chapter number 6, verse number 1. The Bible said, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he said, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee, and he put out his hand and took it up. Brother Derek, would you ask God to bless our scripture reading? And as you're being seated, let me just say that in this story, as you will start and read through those first seven verses, there's every accompaniment of the local church. And you'll see that as you start down through here. And I'll just hit a few of them. And for sake of my remembrance, this is working out really good for me. I'll try not to hit the points too hard and stay there too long. But sometimes the Lord's been doing this as of late, and it's been helping me greatly to memorize the scripture and to understand, maybe give you points or bullets, if you will, that you might be able to even maybe remember the scripture a little better. But as I say in this passage of scripture, that every accompaniment of the local church is listed in this. And when it starts out and it says, the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. So first off, you see the people. And every church, I don't care if you're here or if you were up at Harmony over at Cricket, I don't care if you go to Cherry Grove or wherever you go, every church is made up of people. Is that not right? Every one of us belong to the local assembly. We come from mixed backgrounds. Some of you come from a cabbage field. Some of you come from a cow pasture. Some of you may have been born in sin. City. Some of you come from Wilkes Central's district or West Wilkes. Some of you come from down around God's country like East Wilkes, like some of us did. But we all come from mixed multitudes. We come from different backgrounds. Some of you might have been raised like Brother Tam and Miss Karen was, right in the preacher's home. Some of you didn't even know the word Jesus until you got nearly grown. Some of you come from a place where there was cursing and swearing, where alcohol was prominent and prevalent in the home. You might have been raised by a prostitute. You might have been raised by and in the house of an alcoholic or a drug dealer. You might have been raised in the house of a man that would never raise his hand against you. Or you might have been raised in a home where you got beat and abused physically, or maybe mentally, or maybe any other way that you could be abused. Let me tell you, here in this passage of scripture, like I said, it's none different than any other church. It's made up of people. And let me tell you, Miss Ellen Myers, the pastor of Brother Don Myers, a preacher friend of mine, she used to have this little statement. It didn't make much sense to me years ago, but Brother Kenny, after being a pastor for all these many years, it's starting to make a lot more sense. Miss Ellen used to just say that people are people. And I say, well, what in the world does Miss Ellen mean by people are people? It means just what it says, people are people. We've all got our share of problems. Some of us can hide them very well. Some of them, I mean, we bury them so deep inside of our soul that only God knows about that problem. But Brother Derek, some of us wear them right in here. And Brother John, we wear them right in here. And we wear them over here. And you know what we do when we get down here? We just dare somebody to go ahead and touch that. You go ahead and do that. Why? Because I've got my emotions right out here, and I'm going to wear them just as close to the surface as I can, because I'm pretty sure that that old Greg Adams going to come by, and he going to hit on one of them in a little bit. And when he does, I'm going to tell him what I really think of him. Let me tell you, I don't care how bad your day's been at work. I don't care how bad your day was at school. I don't care if you were unemployed or you got 10 jobs. When you come in here, can you not wear your feels right out there? Can you just for a little while say, Lord, I just want to come into your house. I just want to be in your presence. I just want to hear from your man. Lord, I don't care how straight the place is. I don't care how confining that it really is. I don't really care how difficult the situation is. I don't care how it really looks on the surface. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I just want to hear your song sung. I just want to be around your people, Lord. I just want to enjoy your fellowship a little bit. Well, the sons of the prophet realized very quickly that, oh, Elisha, this place is very restricting. It's very confining unto us. And I'm telling you, Elisha, it's just downright difficult at times. Well, just as that, I said, we're all made up of people. Then immediately I turned right over from the pastor right down to the problem. They said, we've got some problems in here. It's so constrictive or so confined that we can't all get in here and do what we want to do. Brother Gary, it's going to be that way. And bless God, let me tell you, heaven has never had to enlarge herself. She is a four-square city coming down from God out of heaven that John saw. She's about 1,500 miles in every direction. She's never had to enlarge herself. And Brother John, when we get there, there'll be enough room for you. There'll be enough room for the Jew that got saved. There'll be enough room for the Presbyterian that got saved, or the Catholic that got saved, or anybody else. But bless God, one thing is in common. Bless God, everybody that's there is going to be saved. But down here, everybody's not saved. You say, well, I can't help that, and I can't help it either. But guess what? You're going to have to worship beside them. You don't know who's saved and who's lost. You don't know who's in a straight place and who's not. You don't know who's in this fix or that fix. But I'm going to tell you, we all got to get in this thing together and stay in here together and keep the straight place straight. Don't get crooked with it. That one word, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T, it means to be straight, to not be crooked. Bless God, let's be apt and upright in our dealings, apt to do what's right, prone to do what's right, and not let the baser things sidetrack us and get us off on some crooked or scurvy trail that we don't need to be going down. A whole lot of churches get a little bit crooked once in a while. They get crooked in their dealings with the people. If you don't believe that, then why were the first deacons appointed? Why? That's because there was some tension in there. The Grecians are murmuring against the Hebrew. Why? Because they're getting more than we're getting. You're not fair in your daily ministration of all the things going on. Now listen, would the man of God, is he supposed to get involved in that? No, Elisha, he just follows along here and he goes along and said, if y'all want to go, you go. But Brother John, in the New Testament, the deacons were appointed that the man of God might be given to the word of God and to prayer. I should never have to worry about money over here. but here, once in a while, I find myself, and Brother Clayton, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, then I find myself right in the middle. You said, yeah, but you got to get involved a little bit. I don't like being involved in the money. I wish I never had to mention the word money. Y'all take care of that and let me get on dealing with the Word of God. But anyway, here, let's just keep the straight place straight. So the people are there, same as they are here. The pastor's here, or the prophet was there, Elisha. The problem was that, hey, this place is confining unto us. So what'd they do, Brother John? They come up with a plan. What are we going to do? We're going to leave. Ain't that what it says in the next verse? It said in verse number 2, let us go. Brother Steve, that's what I was teasing you a while ago. That's what I was teasing you, Miss Shirley, about church hopping. I said, I'm glad you're back, Miss Shirley. And she said, well, preacher, I'm glad we're back too. And I said, I'm getting tired of you and Preacher Kenny being church hoppers. And ain't that what I said to you? I said, you better get over here and settle down. Now, I was picking on her a little bit. If God opens the door for Preacher Kenny, I guarantee you he could care less what this little preacher thing. If God opens him a door, I guarantee you he's going to go preach. He's not going to listen to me up here saying you better quit church hopping. I'm not God, brother. I don't put myself in the place of God. I'm one of his mouthpieces and I get to speak for him. But bless God, when God opens you or any of these other preachers a door, you ought to go through that door and go through it with boldness and proclaim the glorious gospel. Preach it bold, but preach it in love. But I'm saying, that whenever the word come to Elisha that the place was becoming confined or straight or difficult, what did he say? He said, I'm not holding you back. They said, let us go. We pray thee unto Jordan to take thence every man's a beam. What did he say in the last two words of the second verse? What did he say? He said, go ye. I've had people threaten me at this church and other churches, said, we're fixing to leave, preacher, if this doesn't happen. You know what? Whenever I hear that, I automatically, in my radar, Brother John, it goes from being up, it gets turned off. And then I automatically say, well, you're not going to coerce me into making you stay. You're not going to bend my arm and twist me to change the doctrine or change any other ability that under my ability to change. Brother Tim, I'm not going to change Calvary to suit you. If that's the way you feel, brother, then you pray about that. And if the Holy Ghost will give you pass or press to go, then guess what, brother? If he'll give you liberty, you ought to go. And don't hold us back. You better keep the straight place straight, because if they stay, you know what will happen? This straight place will get crooked. I'm not lying to you tonight, church. I'm telling you the truth. People would come to me and say, well, this didn't happen or that didn't happen. Well, put your big boy bloomers on. And understand, a long time ago, Brother John, I realized that I don't always get what I want. And then I also come to realize whenever I got real close to God, Brother Derek, that everything I want's not always what he wants. Have y'all ever realized that our ways are not his ways? His ways are much higher than ours. Then why do we think, Brother John, that we've always got to have our way? We think that we always got to have our way. You don't have to have your way. If God's getting his, then let him be glorified. You don't necessarily need your way. Your way really doesn't matter. Anyway, we keep going. They had other problems. We could keep reading. That ain't even the message. I'm just trying to get y'all an introduction here. They had other problems. Why? Because after they left Miss Jan, they chopping down woods, axe head flew off. And there's always going to be those problems. I'm telling you, brother, we're running hard. We're going for God hard. Next thing you know, the axe head will fall off. Something will happen. Can't help it, but it did. It's not ours to begin with. That's borrowed. Ain't that what that said? What was that axe head representative of? It's representative of the power of God. And if we ever lose the power of God, you know what we're swinging, Brother Kenny? An axe handle. And you know you can do a whole lot of damage with an axe handle. If you don't have that little cutting edge, that part that does the pruning, that part that does the work, Brother Chris, if we don't have that, we're swinging a club. And I could beat y'all to death as a congregation with a dull axe head or with no axe head at all. If I'm just swinging a club, I'm going to hurt you. But aptly using the Word of God, which is sharper and more powerful than any two-edged sword, if I'm using that properly, it's cutting off dead branches, it's fixing stuff that's broke, it's doing everything that needs to be done. So the problem was they were in a straight place, but also problem come up that they were in this position where the axe head flew off. So anyway, why do people leave their place of worship? And how can we keep a straight place straight? Let's look just for a few minutes. Are we in a straight place, straight? as your pastor, I'd like to think if I, you know, just last week, Brother John, the President of the United States, like him or hate him, love him, lump him, take him, leave him, I don't care. He addressed the United States in what is commonly referred to as a State of the Union address. If I were to give you a State of the Church address tonight as your dear pastor, I would say that this church is in a straight place. We're straight, meaning we're not crooked. Meaning we're trying our best to honor God with our word, with our doctrine, with the songs. Brother Scott doesn't come in here with some floppy version of some newfangled Christianity and work it in through a song and try to get us to start going some other direction. We've even changed the word. Brother Scott's got a word. It's not in your Merriam-Webster. It's not in Noah Webster or any other dictionary. Brother Scott calls it Calvarizing. He'll say, okay, choir, we're going to Calvarize this one. Is Calvarizing in your dictionary? It's not. But everybody that knows Brother Scott, they said, whenever he said, we're going to Calvarize one, it might mean that we're going to change a word that's not quite right. There was one of those songs that said that, I don't remember, Brother Scott, it said he spilled his blood and we changed it over to shed or something. There are several places where we had to fix something. There was one of them that he was wasted before his time. And we changed that to say that he was crucified in his prime or crucified in his time or something. Anyway, even whenever it's wrong, even whenever it's crooked, we're going to try to make it straight. So anyway, I think we're in a straight place, and I think we're trying to keep it straight. But even as I talk about this tonight, some people will leave the straight place, will leave the, not the straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, not the confining place or the difficult place, as this was suggested, but sometime, brother, they will leave because of the preacher. They will leave because of the preacher. Now let me tell you, if you're one that can stay and make the crooked preacher straight, then you ought to be staying. You ought to stay there and you ought to pray, God, you help our preacher. Help him. He's erring from the truth. He's off on some dogleg crooked place that he shouldn't be in. Lord, bless our pastor. And you ought to have deacons strong enough to say, hey, preacher, let's talk about that for a little bit. You're getting ready to introduce something to us that's not right according to God's word. And a lot of times the church will just swallow that thing. And like a carp on a dope ball, they'll swallow that thing way down into their innards. And it's hard to get a hook out when it gets down that deep. And it could be something, Brother Troy, that'll change the whole position of that church. Doctrinally speaking, they'll do that. And they'll do it because it comes from the pastor. A lot of people will leave because of the preacher. He preaches too loud. He preaches too soft. He's uneducated. He's too educated. He's Dr. Bottle Stopper. He's too long-winded. He's too short. All these different things come in. He preaches for money. He just wanted a position. He wanted popularity. He wanted some fame. He wanted his name in lights. People will leave because of the preacher. There are times to leave. If you can't fight it, there's people in here right now that are here because their church told them and made a wholesale change to change versions of their Bible. They've done that. They've changed all these different things. And if it comes, Brother Jody, and you've got to leave, find you a church, brother, and honor God where you're at. You say, why'd you bring Brother Jody up? Because he's a product of one of those churches. They'll also leave because of the people. They weren't friendly enough. Told me to get out of their seat because they had been sitting in that same seat for 130 years. They were downright rude. They didn't make me feel welcome. I don't understand. I just want to go to church, sit down, not be bothered by anybody. But everybody in there had to come and shake my hand. Like it drove me nuts. I don't like shaking people's hands. And everybody in there thought they had to come by and shake my hand. I don't want to shake anybody's hand. I just want to go and sit down, hear the word of God preached. But here everybody has to come by and rub on me. Hug my neck. You hear it all. They'll leave because of the people. They'll leave because of the preacher. They'll leave because, Brother Kippy, we just ain't got the right programs over there. Why, you know, Brother John, Calvary doesn't even have a bowling league. They don't even have a bowling team. They don't have a quiz bowl. Brother, we got toilet bowls, use them. We don't have to have a biblical quiz bowl. If you want to do that, we can have one, Brother John, but that's not what we're going to base the church upon. That's not what we're going to do to keep the straight place straight. We're not going to keep on having programs to bring people in here. Well, there's two geared toward the youth over there. They don't even do nothing for us older folks. I find we do more for the older folks, Miss Martha and all you. I find we do more stuff for the older folks than we do the younger folks. And I'm starting to fit in better with you older folks. Y'all eat good. Nothing against you, Justin. Justin says, hey, we're going to get 13 pieces. Miss Martha said, we're having stewed beef tonight and pork chops. Caviar and shrimp and everything else. And not that you can't have that, Brother Justin. If you want to cook a stewed beef, that'd be great. Invite me. But people leave because of programs. Preacher, you're crazy. Well, leave me alone. I enjoy it. And one thing I have found is, Brother Tam, people will not tell you the truth. Why do they lie? Why do people lie? I can go right up to you, Brother Derek. Listen, can I use you for a minute? All of a sudden you have left or you're getting ready to relocate. This place is too straight, Mr. Elisha. Can we go somewhere else and build us a bigger place? Or can we do this? Or I'm leaving. I come to Brother Derek. Brother Derek's come to me and said, Mr. Elisha, I'm leaving. Brother Derek, why are you leaving? Well, I just feel it's time. Oh, you blame the Lord for everything. That's what I want to tell them. That's the number one thing, Brother Eric. I'm being led of the Lord. Don't pack that off on the Lord. The truth is, you won't forgive the brother that's sitting on the other side of the building, and because you won't forgive him or because he won't apologize, let me tell you, that's why people leave, Brother Tam, and they won't tell you the truth. Tell me the truth. Why are you leaving? If the truth is, preacher, I got puffed up on my neighbor and he just had to sit four pews back, and bless God, we can't get this thing remedied. Bless God, what you're avoiding is Matthew chapter number 18. You don't want to get it fixed. Why? Because you'd rather carry it because you're right and he's wrong. All the truth. Does it really matter? Souls are dying and going to a devil's hell, and we're worried about this trivial stuff that does not matter. Trivial trivialities do not matter in the house of God. They shouldn't never matter, but there they do. People will not tell you the truth. Preacher, I just feel like it's time to leave. We were starving to death. We weren't getting fed. Didn't get my way. I wanted it that way, but I didn't get it. They wouldn't forgive me, and I ain't forgiving them. The Bible's addressing every bit of that stuff we just talked about. How many times do I forgive that rascal, that scallywag? How many times? You say, well, now the Lord said 70 times 7. You mean that 490 we can quit? Bless God, by the time you forgive that man that many times, you will be a forgiving person. You won't even know how not to forgive him. The Lord didn't mean for it to be a finite or fixed number. He just meant, hey, forgive him and forgive him and forgive him and forgive him. You may do that 490 times, forgive him and forgive him. Time that man sinned against you that many times, y'all got problems beyond what I can help you with. You're not beyond that of the Lord, though. Well, preacher, I know this. I've done this several times and nobody commended me for it. I've done this and nobody even noticed. Didn't even get an attaboy. Okay, well, let me ask you, why did you do that? Did you do that to get the attaboy? If that's the answer, guess what? You're wrong. You did it to be seen of men. You were doing it for an ulterior motive. Were you doing it to honor God, to bring honor into his house, to bring honor into his word, to bring honor into his way? No, you were doing it that somebody might see it and say, Troy, you did good, boy. Let me pat you on the back, son. You're doing it for the wrong motive anyway. People are funny. As Miss Ellen said, people are people. Let's get back in here. So why do people leave? It's their own actions. Elisha, this place is too straight. Let us go, we pray thee, to Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. Let us make a place there that we may dwell. He said, go ahead, go ye. One said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And he went with them, and they came to Jordan, and they cut down wood. But as one was felling a bean, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So why did they leave? Because of their own actions. It's their actions. It wasn't the actions of Elisha. The Bible said as they were felling the beam, as they were doing that, the axe head flew off. Is that what it says? Then it's their actions that caused that. In today's economy, today's church circle that we are in, Brother John, it's still the actions of men that caused them to leave their church. You'll get puffed up at somebody else, but it's really ultimately your action. It is so hard for us to put the blame on our own selves. Is that not the hardest thing, to assign blame to yourself? It really, really is. But whenever it's clear cut and all the evidence is there, the evidence has mounted against you, then what do you generally do whenever every evidence points towards you and you then are therefore the guilty one? You just throw yourself at the mercy of the court. You throw yourself at the mercy of the one that's got the ability to forgive, which is namely God. But we won't do that. We will not assign and assess blame to ourselves. I've seen it in the pulpits, Brother John. The preacher will drive a church plumb into the ground head first with a 90-pound sledge and will not take accountability for his own actions. Bless God, it's him and him alone that did that. But Brother Tam, the people are the ones that got hurt in that. And yet he will not own up to that. But it's his own actions. It's his doings. Or maybe the preacher's preaching it right, and then all of a sudden there's a mutiny on the bounty, and they get a bunch of people together and decide to throw him overboard. And whenever they do that, then the church is without a sail, without a shepherd. And they're at the mercy of God. But it's usually actions of somebody that calls it all to go. Hebrews chapter number 13, verse number 17 is a verse that I love. This verse of scripture, because in its context, and I won't take it out of context, it tells us how we are to relate to our Elisha. Was Elisha their man of God? Am I right or wrong? Where I'm reading in chapter 6 of 2 Kings, was Elisha their prophet? Was Elisha their man? The same as Paul would have been in the time of the writings of Thessalonica or the Philippian church or Ephesus or any of the other. Paul writes, the writer, and Brother John's already mentioned this in our prayer room tonight, in the book of Hebrews, we assign this to no one. I think it's Paul, but anyway, you take it up with God. I don't care who you think that it is. The writer of the book of Hebrews, he talks about love in this. It said, remember them in verse number 7, remember them to have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And listen to me, it's number seven said, remember them that have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God. So who is that talking about? It's talking about your Elisha. It's talking about your Elijah. It's talking about your pastor, your man of God. Because then we go right into verse number 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, and that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So let me say, they resist authority, and when people resist authority that's coming straight from God Almighty, if that man's in the book, and if you don't like what he's preaching and you get mad at him, you're not getting mad at him, you're getting mad at God. Because if you don't like the book, and I can tell you the book's not wrong, the book's right, and to keep a straight place straight, we got to keep the book straight, and you can get mad all day long, Brother Tam, at the book. But what you're doing, you're getting mad at God and not the man of God. You can get mad at me all you want to, but brother, if I can take that book and rightly divide it and show you the error of your way, you're wrong. I don't care who you are. You're the wrong one. So people, is their own actions, they resist the authority of God that's coming from the man of God through the pulpit of the holy God. Nobody going to tell me what to do. How about that? They ain't going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me what to how to dress. You're not going to tell me my skirt's too short, my top's too low. You're not going to tell me about broided hair and costly of pearls and being modestly appareled. You're not going to tell me that. You're not going to tell my children how to dress. You're not going to tell them where to go. You're not going to tell them to stay out this honky-tonk or that one. You're not going to tell me not to go to that place or not to listen to that kind of filth or that kind of vibe. You're not going to tell me that. I'm just not going to hear it. Who do you think you are? Who died and made you the boss? Well, Christ died, and he made me the boss. Obey them that have the rule over you. Wait just a minute. You said you're a church boss. No, I'm an under-shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, but I'm an under-shepherd. And the Bible instructs the flock to obey them that have the rule over you. I have a boss. But Brother John, I am a boss. I'm a postmaster. I have people that report to me, but I have a boss that's above me, and I do what he says to do. And the people that I have an edict or something given down to me or a direction or some kind of regulation, I have to give it down to them. They have to obey what I tell them to do. And Brother John, we got a whole set of rules right here. I'm just trying to tell y'all what it says once in a while. Some people will resist authority. Some people just love attention. Some people love the things that go along. I'm going back over to our scripture. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? In other words, what happened? Well, it flew off. Where'd it go? Where fell it? Where did a problem go? Where'd it come from? Where'd it stem from? How are we going to fix this? That's what the man of God's saying. Elisha's saying, where fell it? Where'd it go? How are we going to get it back? What are we going to do to remedy this situation? How in the world are we going to correct in a world go crooked? How are we going to keep a straight place straight? How are we going to fix this? Where fell it? What did he do, Brother John? What did that call that? A stick. Has it not always been about a tree? Is it not about a cross? Is it not? He cut down a stick and he put it in the water, and the iron did swim. If any one of you get a little bit crooked, if any of you get a little bit outside the way, Brother John, I can remedy that by pointing you to a cross. I can show you a stick. I can show you a place where a multitude of sins were atoned for. I can show you where, Brother John, everything that was ever crooked was made straight. I can show you in the scriptures where that axe head that flew off was never theirs to start with. The Holy Spirit's not yours, Miss Sherry. It's not mine. It's not ours. Alas, master, for it was borrowed. Brother Tam, he's borrowed. He comes in here. The wind bloweth where it listeth. He comes in here. He's here with us. And sometimes, Brother Troy, guess what? Ask the preachers that's preached in England time. Is it not sometimes like preaching with a long plow in a field full of stumps? Ain't that a hard place to preach? Brother Troy, you preach any length of time. Brother John, y'all go out any place, you'll find once in a while that you'll drop the old long gospel plow. The Bible said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. But you'll drop that old long gospel plow, man. You're going to start plowing. You're going to start plowing deep. I'm telling you what, the old oxen jumps. The old tractor jumps and bucks and stumbles. Why? Because that plow's doing something. It's jerking up stumps. It's not always that way. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But sometimes, Brother John, he's absent the place. I've preached in them places. It's hard plowing. It's hard. I don't ever want to be there. I hope I'm never there again. But as time goes on, I'll probably be there again, Brother Tam. But the axe head was borrowed. Once we realize that, bless God, God doesn't have to meet with us. He doesn't have to come in and sup with us. I'm glad that he does. What we got to do, Brother John, is make it inviting for him to come in. And we got to keep everything clean and orderly. I'm going to tell you what, you invite me over to your house and you've got everything out of whack. And I'm telling you what, I sit down at your table, Brother Kippy, and there's 5,000 cockroaches just crawled across the table. You got to sweep off rat droppings off my plate to get me to eat. You know what? Brother, I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm just not real hungry right now. I appreciate the invitation, but I'm just not really into rat droppings. I've been to your house, Archie. It's not that bad. No, your place is clean as a whistle. I've been over there at your house. And if you live in that, shame on you. You ought to keep your mess cleaned up. But you said, what'd you bring that up for? Tam, I'm not eating there. I'm not. And the same thing. If the Lord comes in here, Brother Kenny, everything's out of sort. And I'm talking about vile. I'm not talking about rat droppings and roaches. I'm talking about it's vile. It's nasty. People brought junk in here and it's not been accounted for. Sin's not been dealt with. The sin that we did have, Brother John, we jerked the corner of the carpet up and we push it back up under here. We ain't going to deal with that. We'll just kind of hide it. Hidden sin is not sin that's been atoned. It's not yet been confessed.
That's right.
It's hidden. So how are you going to do that, preacher? You're going to go back and do what Elisha did. But the one thing, as one was felling a beam, the axe had fell in the water, and he cried, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." And the man of God said, "Where it fell?" And he showed him the place and cut down a stick, cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. You said, what's that back? He got back what he had lost. He got back the power. He got back the axe head. He got back the part that was doing the work. So going back to full circle, how do you keep a straight place straight? You keep on doing what we've been doing. Keep doing what your daddy did for 4 decades. Keep doing, Brother John, what the book says to do. Proclaim the word of God. I'm telling you, it's a mighty thing. It's a powerful thing. If the Lord ever lets you pastor, and I have no indication if he's going to lead you into evangelism, if he's going to lead you into missions. I know you're going to work soon. You care if I tell? You're going to work at Samaritan's Purse, which is a Christian ministry. I thank God for that. My son-in-law works there, as other people in here do. I thank God for that. But if he ever leads you to pastor, you better do your best to honor God. Keep your place straight. Keep your life straight. Cindy and I were talking about it. There was a pastor not too far from here that was ended up in the newspaper. He had an accusation made against him. That stuff scares me to death, Brother Tam. Put this little blog out there this week on my social media page. It said that we have but one thing. We lock up our jewelry. We lock up our guns to keep our valuable stuff stored and safe. We lock our doors on our house, Brother John, to keep our family secure and safe. But yet sometimes we leave our hearts unlocked. And the thief wants to come in to kill, to steal, and destroy. And we don't lock up the most important thing, which is our heart and our testimony. Why should we guard the heart? The Bible says to guard the heart, from it come the issues of life. It's important to guard that heart. It's going to be important for you someday to keep the straight place straight. Yeah, it might be confining to some. Sometimes it's downright restricted, Brother Tam. You know why? Because we don't get to do what we want to do. We ain't supposed to do what we want to do. We're supposed to do what God wants us to do. Brother Scott, come get us a song tonight. If you're here tonight and anything that I preached slapped you sideways, got you a little bit out of sorts, why don't you talk to God about it? Because I'm telling you what, it's an awesome, awesome responsibility to say, hey, I'm a child of the King. If you're going to lay that on him, Brother Derek nailed it. Brother Derek, a little while ago, you nailed it. Why'd you leave? The Lord told me to. Really, did he? Did the Lord really tell you to move? Some of you, there ain't no doubt in my mind he told you to get out of there. You better get out while the getting's good, or we're going to take you down. I bet you a lot of those people, Brother Tam, when they were on that Titanic, if they could have got off of that thing, don't you think they'd have got off? Why? That thing's sinking. You know why that thing sunk? When the shipbuilder built it, he christened the helm of that thing with a bottle of bubbly and said, even God himself couldn't sink this vessel. You know what God said? Hey, y'all, watch this. That's a barnacle bed up in the North Atlantic right now. But there ain't no doubt in my mind people could have got out of that thing. They would have. A lot of them went down with it. Don't let anything cause you to leave the straight place. Just help keep it straight. Now, if God tells you to leave, if your pastor gets scurvy on you, start getting squirrely on you, come to me, Brother Clayton. I challenge you. Get right, get me right, or get me out of here. As we stand all over the house tonight,